Hey, beautiful. This is Aminata Soul Plant Walker Firewoman, and I am the host of the Mother Tree Network, where spirituality and earth wisdom meet racial justice and women's leadership.
Hey, gorgeous. It's me, Aminata Soul, and you are going to love this episode with Kirsten Bowl. Kirsten is such a beautiful light. The way she just beckons you into magic and reminds you of the ways that you might have experienced the world as a child. Kirsten is a preschool teacher. She is someone who works with mathematicians. She is a fairy walker. She is a woman of many healing modalities. And on this episode, we talk about what it's like to tap in to all the ways that nature is calling out to you. She talks about tree stretching. She talks about trees beckoning her and about leading adults and children on fairy walks as a way to help adults re-enter the world of magic and possibility. We talk about foxes. And what I really like about Kirsten is how body conscious she is. I have talked to Kirsten and texted Kirsten and said, Kirsten, I need you to do test your body on a question for me. Give me a yes or a no. When it was something that I felt I was too conflicted about to use my own body to do some kinesiology with. And Kirsten can tap into her body and hear yeses and nos and trust her body. So I encourage you to just relax into this delightful conversation and share it with others who you think need a little bit of delight and magic back in their lives. And I also encourage you to take part in our upcoming free webinar series, 5 Signs That It's Time to Slow Down Your Social Justice and Regenerate. This webinar series is really meant for you, gorgeous. It's meant for all of those of us who are out here loving the world, doing all that we can, but finding ourselves, maybe even unconsciously, getting resentful, feeling tired all the time, hot, bothered, irritated, feeling broke. So in this webinar, I'm going to review the 5 signs that you need to slow down and maybe for some of us, stop, pause your social justice to regenerate. And I'll show you how to regenerate. Each webinar is going to have some specific actions you can take to regenerate, as well as give you a sense of nurture and support as you consider what it is that you need to do for your body and your life mission. So please sign up on my website, dramandakemp.com, dramandakemp, K-E-M-P.com, or you can go to the show notes and I'll have a link to sign up there. We're recording each one of these, so even if you can't make them all, sign up for the ones that you can make and we'll be sure to get your replay. See you on the other side. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mother Tree Network podcast. It's Aminata Soul Plant Walker Firewoman, and I'm so excited to be here with my special guest today, my friend, Kirsten Bowl. And you'll see her full bio in the show notes, but just so that you know, Kirsten, for me, is an extraordinary human being. She is so open and porous and willing to engage with seen and unseen and to really honor her inner authority and just be herself, just be authentic with people. So, which I think is such a form of leadership. You know, it just like gives people around you permission to be who they are. So Kirsten Bowl, thank you and welcome to the Mother Tree Network.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. So we started the show by asking the same question. And so to you, I ask, what's good?
Oh my gosh. What comes to my mind is the sky is blue today where I am. I'm in North Carolina, in central North Carolina, where we're at the center of spring, and it's beautiful. The green has filled in and the sky is a clear blue today.
It's beautiful. And you said North Carolina.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and in the center of spring. So for you, what does that feel like in your body? You know, when you are in the center of spring and the green has filled in around you.
Yes. A lot of joyful energy coming up and out, and also the sense of being held and cocooned at the same time. For example, going for a walk in the woods at the creek near where I live. There's that sense of the archway, the canopy, and just the enjoyment of that.
And before we started this call, you had said something about trees and how you adjusted yourself. You like gave yourself a chiropractic adjustment in working with some trees. Can you tell us that story?
Sure. When I was living in rural southeastern Ohio several years back, it was a little ways to get to the chiropractor, a little ways to get to the big town with the doctors in them. And I would go for walks in the woods, and I would think, gee, wouldn't it be nice if I could just adjust myself right now? And my experience at the time was the trees kindly beckoned me over and began showing me how to hold my body, where to lean, with how much force to lean. And lo and behold, didn't always work, but a lot of the time I felt a lot better. And I wasn't just walking. I was also, I guess my phrase for it is tree stretching. I was also stretching myself out. And once in a while, there would be a satisfying crackle and pop. And I would think, oh, yeah, that feels good. That's better now. And I would keep walking. So I felt a lot of gratitude toward those trees.
I have to write down that phrase, tree stretching. I love that.
Yeah.
And I love how you said, so you weren't just walking. So you added this thing into your walk.
Mm-hmm.
But wait, before you added it in though, you said you felt the trees beckoning you?
Sure. I mean, there's infinite layers, right, of life available to us wherever we go, however we are in the world. And so, the more I go into the center of life, of my life span in this body, the more I just appreciate what is available. So there's just so many different ways to tap into that life energy. And that was just one of them that day.
Wow. So for you, that's tapping into life energy.
Yes.
Oh.
And celebrating with nature, because we're part of it. We're not separate, you know. It's part of who we are. We're part of planet. We're not separate from the planet.
So interesting, because I had someone on the show, Dr. Elspeth Muth, and she was talking about life force.
Ooh.
You know how we all have life force.
Yeah.
And she was describing a motor connection where she said with anything that breathes, you can, so it could be a person, it could be a tree, it could be a dog, you can, come into a heart space with them and just breathe, just consciously breathe out and breathe in. And, you know, with an animal, a person, you can feel their tummy move maybe with you as you breathe in and out.
Yes.
So I guess it just makes it just so. You just opened that up for me when you said it depends on when you tap into that life energy, you can perceive and hear different things.
Yes. And I think some people use different senses, right? Some people feel it with their sense of touch, and some people see it with their eyes, and some people sense it with their bodies, how their own body moves, or physical sensations on their body of heat or cold or touch, and others, you know, smell and taste, or just a sense of knowing, or some people hear words or music. Some people receive songs. I know I've heard you share some of those with the communities that you're a part of. So it's just, again, different people experience that relationship with other living beings in lots of different ways.
And I know you work with small children, like preschool age kids. And so I felt myself feeling a little emotional when you said that, because sometimes it takes recovery to go back to experiencing those things that you said, which made me think of small children and how maybe they have easier access to it.
Yes. I like to lead what I've learned to call fairy walks with children in the woods. Why? Because children immediately know what you're talking about. They don't need an explanation. Two, because it invites the adults to come with their sense of magic intact, or the permission to re-enter that sense of magic. And I don't care if you call it magic or awareness of life force energy or just playing and having fun. To me, it's pretty much the same thing. And I just enjoy being in that space with children. Now, what was your question again? Your question was,
do they have easier access to it?
Do they have easier access? I've yet to meet a child who doesn't. I imagine if there were enough life experiences stacked up in the way of that, they might temporarily lose access. I was telling a story to a friend of mine this morning in preparation for being with you about a child at the school where I teach this week who was acting out, and I was pulling in my magic tool bag and, holding up this child had made a jellyfish out of cardboard and yarn. There was also a small plastic fox near us. This child was standing. I was kneeling. The fox was at the level of my ear on a shelf. And I was bringing into the conversation what the jellyfish had to say to him and what the fox had to say. And he's three. And he looked me in the eye and said things like, "Oh, jellyfish, whether they're in the ocean or something I made, they can't talk. Foxes can't talk." And I said, "Well, this one can. Well, I can hear it. Should I tell you what it says?" And so I don't know, you know, where his process is, but he did earlier this week. We were all at the climbing tree. So imagine 10 3 to 5-year-olds all climbing at once a very large tree. And you're saying things like, "Watch where your feet are. Someone else's head is near your feet. Do you have enough space around your body? Do you know where you are?" Things like that. And so there's a lot of activity. And it was time to leave the tree and do something else. And I usually would say something like, "It's, you know, say goodbye to the ponies. We're leaving now." It's on a farm, you know, "Say goodbye to the tree if you want to." And on that day, I watched the same child lean in and kiss the tree before we left it. So when the same child later in the week was, my parents would have called it being a grump, was being a grump and was informing me that jellyfish can't talk and foxes can't talk, I thought, "Yeah, but I saw you kiss the tree. It's okay."
Yeah.
It's all right. I saw you kiss the tree. Mm. So some moments we can all access it better than others. And even our feelings, just how we're feeling in the moment might make it easier or harder. I forget your question, but there we are.
Okay.
Yeah.
The question is a little bit of a pointer on the journey.
Yeah.
Is it time for you to slow down your social justice? Is it time for you to pause? Is it time for you to regenerate your joy in what you're doing and who you're doing it with? If any of these questions sound relevant to you, I invite you to come on in to our free webinar series, 5 Signs That It's Time to Slow Down Your Social Justice and Regenerate. This series consists of hourly webinars every Friday in July. They're free at no cost to you. And it's a chance for you to slow down and each week get a new tool to regenerate. You can find out more about it at DrAmandaKemp.com. DrAmandaKemp.com. Or you can just check your show notes.
Wow, you're just talking about that child kissing the tree made me think of when I was up in the mountains. They had a cluster of one tree that had three trunks. Mm-hmm. You know, we called it the Three Sisters. That Ooh. Tree has gotten lots of kisses.
Yeah.
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 When you were growing up, did you do that? Did you kiss trees or hug
trees?
No,
but I did love the moss in our front yard. My father detested it because he viewed it as a sign of failure as a lawn keeper. But I loved it because it was so soft and comforting, and I would lie down on it and I would walk on it barefoot. Also in the backyard, there was a birch tree, you know, with the flaky bark, the white silvery bark, and I would climb it. And the game was, my mother would usually be the one watching out the back window, and I would climb just a little bit higher or go a little further out on a branch than either I or I knew she was comfortable with, just to see that I could, and not far enough that she would come out and tell me to come down. Not far enough that she would intervene, but just enough to kind of prove to myself that I could go a little bit higher or a little bit further out on that branch. So I spent some time in that tree.
The birch tree.
The birch tree. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yep. There's something about moss.
Yes.
I agree with you. I was lying on a lot of moss when I was in North Georgia too.
Yes. Just,
oh my God. It does feel good.
It does. And there are so many different kinds. And we, you know, if you've never spent time with it, you think it's all one thing, but it seems no, there's a lot more there. I don't know a lot yet about moss, but I'd like to learn more.
Yeah. I think that's the way of life, isn't it? It's like, yes, there's more than one kind. The closer you are to it, the more, yes, you realize there's variety there.
Yes. You asked about what does it feel like to be in the center of spring. Green is my favorite color and has been since I was a child. And at this time of year, particularly where I live, there are so many colors of green.
Yes.
There are so many colors of green. There are so many colors of green. There are so many colors of green. It's just so amazing.
Yeah. It's just a poem by itself.
It is.
So many colors of green.
Yes.
Wow. So true.
Yeah.
What do you think it does to you when you look out and you see a lot of green? Like, different colors of green, but when what you see is a lot of green, as opposed to, let's say, a lot of buildings.
It makes my heart lift up. I mean, that was a very easy answer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it makes me want to be tactile with the world. It makes me want to engage.
Yes.
Whether it's gardening or hugging that tree or walking and breathing, you know, it makes me want to get into it. It's a very invitational color for me.
Mm.
Yeah.
So on the Mother Tree Network podcast, so we're like at the intersection of spirituality, earth wisdom, racial justice, and women's leadership.
Yes.
And I wonder how can you tell us about, like, here you are today feeling the invitation from the green and working with small children and but we both have evolved because we've talked about this before the show. So I wonder if you could tell us a story about how you have evolved to be at this point where you feel so held, you know, and in the center of life and in the center of green, like, you know what I mean? How did you tell us a little story about that? How did you
get here? Oh my gosh. Well, as a warm up to that, because I'm going to need to let my subconscious play with that question.
Yeah.
I'm going to answer what I thought you were going to ask, which is sort of, what do you make of the juxtaposition of the color green and women's leadership and racial justice work? So I'm going to answer that and give my subconscious and unconscious time to catch up to your other questions.
Sounds good.
Okay. So what I wanted to say was olive green in Orosoma. And Orosoma is a system of practice in which color plays a part in one's soul journey. We'll just say that for the moment. Olive green is the color of feminine leadership. And it's like, oh, live. And so that sense of being alive and also, sorry, the screen settings changed. So let me blink and reorient. Okay. We're all still here. Okay. Here we are. No worries. So olive green is very much about that sense of feminine intuition and women stepping forward at this moment in time. And for me, the racial justice work and journey, while not limited to working with and coming from a place of womanhood, working with other women, has certainly been centered there. So that was where I thought you were going to go. But you were asking more about evolution. How have I come to be so held? I'm hearing one moment. So what is one moment I could share? Well, one moment, again, when I was living in rural southeastern Ohio, working at a friend's boarding and day high school, a college prep high school on a working farm. Think on that for a minute. I lived in an attic apartment in what used to be the girls' dorm, and there was a rocking chair there, a wooden rocking chair. And there was a day when I felt sort of a sense of a vision. And it was sort of, that was sort of a new moment for me. And since then, I mean, I can't count how many moments like that there've been, but at the time it was sort of a new and fresh experience. And it was a felt experience of knowing and understanding that I was learning that there were three geographic areas that would be important to me in my life, or at least three that I needed to know about for the time being. One was the Midwest, where I had grown up, and there was the sense of digging and roots. One, and I was living also in the Midwest at the time. One was the sense of the West Coast, the Bay Area, and it was like a wizard on a mountaintop with a lightning bolt, and it was like wizarding. And it was like magic and sort of the sense of like trees on a hill. And I had never yet lived in the Bay Area, although it turned out that I was about to move there and I didn't know that yet. And the third, and I'm still connected there. And the third was North Carolina, where I had lived before. And you notice I live there now. And that was, if it was digging and whizzing, the other one was jigging, like dancing. And it was the image of like a family, like mothers and children dancing around a fire, like a family fire circle. And in that moment, I understood that in this lifetime, I would continue to have connections in all three. And if you will, the Midwest is sort of the root. The heart is North Carolina. That's where I would make my home. That is where I had made my home. And then there would be this extension of the branches up into the Bay Area. And I continue to be employed there part-time and connected to that space and travel back and forth. And that somehow these were all part of who I was. So not every moment that I would describe as guidance or vision was that clear, that complete, that comprehensive. But when you've been told directly by spirit that you are connected with three geographic areas on the planet, you pay attention. And you feel held. So we'll stop with that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And before you told that story, you said, I'm hearing one moment.
Yes.
So Tell us about what it's like to hear a voice inside you say one moment. Tell us about that.
Sure. So I believe that everyone has access to their own inner wisdom. You could call it many things. Right now, inner child wants to be said. I've never called it that before, but let's call it that today, because that's what's coming. And it won't surprise you. Maybe I have called it that, and I didn't know I was calling it that, because you're going to ask me at the end of this broadcast, do I want to plug my website? And it's innerchildoutside.com. And when I chose the domain, I thought I was talking about holding events in nature for small children to celebrate in community with their chosen adults. I've since come to understand that it's more than that. And this podcast live with you is helping me understand even more specifically that it's about helping grownups adjacent to children, often, not always, sort of reconnect with that spirit of joy and belonging. And so for me, it's about connecting with your inner wisdom, your inner core. You've used the phrase higher self. That also works. There are many different ways. When I was a teenager looking at colleges, I remember sitting in the auditorium of Carpenter Hall at Earlham College, and Len Clark was the provost at the time, and he stood up, and I had never really heard about Quakers before, and he started talking about awakening the inner teacher. So, you know, and I ended up going to Earlham and, you know, becoming friends with Len Clark and working there later. Anyway, but like so the Quakers have another way of talking about it. So it doesn't matter to me what language you use, but it's for me, when I'm stuck, I've learned to stop, or when I'm unclear, and ask for guidance. I have another mentor who will say, you know, please give me the highest guidance available to me at the present moment. And I've sort of abbreviated that in my inner dialogue to highest guidance, like, because there can be a lot of distracting guidance, like what my stomach wants may or may not be what my highest guidance is. What my, you know, wounded 10-year-old wants when I'm feeling really obstreperous or hurt by what someone has just said may or may not be my, it may be, but it may not be. My stomach may be in that moment, or it may not be, sort of the highest. And so, you know, we're all composed of many parts and many elements, and just the discipline is to ask to recenter oneself continually. And then sometimes for me, words come, because I've always been a word person, speaking them and hearing them. And so it kind of wasn't surprising that I started to hear them, because I've always been a word person. It was just different that they were coming through that channel. That was a long answer.
I love that answer. I'm not timing you.
Good.
You're amazing. I just want to, it's so funny when you said you are a word person, because I'm a word person too.
Yeah.
And so it does make sense that you would hear words, and maybe somebody else would see a picture, or my husband, he gets a lot of melodies because it's very audio. Tell me something. I know you love puzzles. And for some reason, when you said I'm a word person, I thought, oh yeah, and she loves puzzles.
So thank you.
Tell me, what do you want to say about puzzles?
Thank you for that invitation. What's coming immediately is I just visited my sister and brother-in-law and niece and our glorious exchange student, and my dad lives nearby in Ohio, back to the roots in the Midwest. And my brother-in-law, in honor of the visit, together with my niece, purchased, you've heard this story in a different context, some puzzles, some jigsaw puzzles. And they were of Highland cattle. And my brother-in-law is from Scotland. And I just felt so held by that choice. First of all, it was a difficult puzzle, because the Highland Coo, as they say, they're shaggy, and they're all in shades of tan and brown and black and, you know, the beautiful earth tones. And it was a snowy background. And so not a lot of rainbow colors there for, you know, rainbow girl here. But mostly it was the faith that he showed in me by sharing a part of himself and connecting with a part of who I was. So apparently that's what I wanted to say about puzzles.
Yeah, but I think there's also something there about the mind.
Yes.
I find that puzzles, this is going to relate to words somehow, everybody. So stay with us.
Yes.
I find that I have a very active mind, you know, fast mind. And I find that puzzles, like something like that one you described.
Yeah.
That almost slows me down.
Yes.
It slows down the words, maybe.
Yes.
Thoughts. What's happening for you?
I need to share that also. I mean, it's pretty well documented that often when women get toward the middle of their lives, maybe in their 40s, new abilities emerge, new parts of themselves emerge. This is a fairly common, like this rebirth, this renaissance in the middle of life. And, you know, famous artists who are women sometimes start painting in the middle of their lives. So anyway, am I claiming to be a famous artist? No, but I do need to tell you that it surprised me. I think it could have been my 30s or my 40s when all of a sudden I started making visual art, and I hadn't done that since I was about 6. And I loved it, and it was connecting me to people in new ways. So, and then during the shutdown of the pandemic, all of a sudden little tiny little songs, 30 seconds long or so, started coming, and I started singing them into my phone. And I don't even have a phone that's meant for singing. It's complicated to use my intentionally, you know, retro style phone to catch it. And here I was singing every day into my phone. So it's just fascinating to me how we really are our whole bodies and our whole brains, even if we happen to excel in one part of it. My day job, what connects me beautifully to the Bay Area, is in math. And so people will often say, I'm not a math person. And I have a shirt that says, I am a math person. So I've learned that all these distinctions are false at one level. You know, we may have sort of a suit that we've been dealt, but it's also what we cultivated when we were young and what we were surrounded with. And it's what we choose to enjoy. And so I'm very much in favor of the more modalities, the more you and I both share a love of the arts and of the, you know, the performing arts of the different kinds and the appreciating arts and the arts of human beings and the art of nature. And it just, the more different modalities, the better. And yes, it's good for the brain and it's good for the heart and it's good for the soul. And yes, it slows me down to work a puzzle, and it's good. It's restful. It's grounding. And, one of the preschoolers this week, who's very sensitive, she was sitting next to me at the picnic table. They were painting. They were doing some bright colors, and a lot was happening fast. And all of a sudden I heard the words at my ear, okay, my mind is off. Like, she just gave herself a break. She just turned off her mind. And I thought, good. But a lot of adults forget. I didn't know how to do that in my 20s. And the adults around me who were modeling it, you know, at that moment, were fond of, you know, the use of, quote, adult beverages. You know, they said, well, just go home and drink a beer. That'll do it. And I was like, I'm pretty sure that's not what I need to do. You go right ahead. That's okay with me. Mm-hmm. But that's not what my body wants. So it took a long time and gradually understanding that, you know, mindfulness practice or breathing or walking in the woods or tree stretching or working a jigsaw puzzle or on purpose signing up for a Tai Chi class and sticking with it, even though I really wasn't good at it, like on purpose doing something I wasn't good at so that I could spend an hour being sociable with very beautiful, congenial human beings. And I would let go of that need to be good at things, which had been holding me back, among other subjects we could talk about. But anyway, so that I'm rambling around to, yes, puzzles are restful for me. And when you are somebody who has words flowing all the time, it's good to do things without words. I mean, I'm grateful about words. It's good. It's good.
Yes.
Needful.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And there's something about putting the pieces together.
Yes.
I think that's satisfying. And that's something I watch you do in the moment. As you start with what you know, and gradually the pieces come together.
Yes. I kept saying to my brother-in-law, Russell, this is an exercise in impossibility, because, you know, I would sit down every time that puzzle and think, oh, I can't do this. There's no way. Never going to make it. I can't do it. And then the sort of like the less I know, the better. The more I let go of it, the more I just pick up pieces and just let my hands move, kind of like we were doing right before this call, where you don't try to plan the exercise that your body is doing. If you're just hearing this, you can't see it, but like my arms are moving, like you don't plan, you just flow with it.
Yes.
It went better. It went better that way. Hmm. The not knowing helps. The letting go and letting the, whatever it is, the guidance come through, the higher self come through. If the body intelligence come through, whatever it is in that moment, there's so much more to you than your thinking brain.
Oh, that could be said again.
There's so much more to you than your thinking brain.
Yes. I'm working on my vision board right now.
Yeah.
The day that we're recording this, it's April 21st. So we had a new moon, depending on your time zone, on the 19th or the 20th. And we had an eclipse. And so, that process is like just tapping into a flow.
Yes.
And also constantly saying to myself, it's okay if it's not perfect. Meaning if I'm not perfectly in the flow, because now that I want to be in the flow, I want to be perfectly.
It's tempting, but it doesn't work. Yeah.
It's all about letting go.
Yeah.
And letting go again. And letting go of the idea of letting go.
Yes. Yes. And then there will be stretches of time or moments where you are in the flow, and then celebrating them and extending them. I have one friend who, if I call her and she's not in the right headspace to talk, I will get a voicemail 2 or 3 days later that will say something like, oh, Kirsten, when you called, I just wasn't, my frequencies were off. I just couldn't. And I adore that way of saying it. But how often have I returned a call when, usually it's my sister, and usually it was in my 20s, when she would say, well, I can tell you don't want to be talking to me now. And I'm like, well, you called me and I'm calling you back. I did that so many times in my 20s. What was the point?
Okay, Kirsten, I have to ask you this now, because you've hit so many buttons that I have to ask you. Do you have Virgo in your sign astrological chart? Okay. I actually didn't know that for sure, but everything you said is so resonating over here. I am so like, well, I said I would do it, so I've got to do it now, and and not thinking about, well, what frequency am I on? And if I'm not on the... there is such a thing as trusting the process. And if it doesn't feel right now, it's going to feel, I can't even get the words out, Kirsten.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. And the inverse is also true. And I had heard this for years and I was skeptical. And then I started practicing it. You start with the feeling, you find the frequency first. And this is your vision boarding in another form, and you visualize where you're headed, or you get crystal clear about your intentions, and you find the feeling. This is the version of you stand in front of the mirror and you smile at yourself and you say, I love wearing purple socks. And by about the sixth or seventh day you're doing it, you're like, oh my gosh, I love wearing these purple socks. Wow. I just feel so happy wearing these purple. And you're like, where did that come from? Well, yes, there are lots of different things here. I've heard it said, the mind leads the chi, from one of my Qigong practitioners. So your mind can lead energy through your body, but also the body leads the mind. I mean, if you put your body somewhere, your mind is going to go. I mean, so any part of us right before this call, or was it earlier today? I was talking with someone about the elements, and there are different ways of talking about the elements, but one way is earth, water, air, fire, which can align with body, emotion, mind, and spirit. There are so many ways, but that is one way. And so really any of those that you start with, and some people would say those are all different worlds or channel, but any one can lead the other. They're all connected. And I love knowing that, because then it gives me the freedom to say, start with the feeling and then inhabit it, or start with the body movement and then get there, or start with the belief that you want to hold and then shape yourself around it, or start with the, I don't know how you start with spirit. I'm not sure how to name that right now. But anyway, I'm now getting less grounded. So I feel like I'm starting to tap out of what I can share with you in this interview, just to let you know.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. Why don't we take a moment here to have a word from our sponsor, and we'll come right back. Okay. So Kirsten, I think that one of the things I would love for you to just, if you have any advice for people on like to tap into that magic, you know, that you spoke about when we first started the call, like how to get back into the magic or touching onto that life. If you have anything to advise us about that.
For me, it would be with a child, and or be outside, and or tap into that mother-child energy. And it could be an actual mother and child, human, divine, in the animal kingdom, or it could be your relationship with Mother Earth. So that's how it works for me.
Wait, when you say tap into mother child, you mean be around a mother and a child?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yes.
Interesting.
And if you can't in the moment, you might simply close your eyes and visualize, or if you're at work, maybe there's a YouTube video of a nature channel with, I happen to like fish, you know, big fish, little fish, you know, that would be one way.
Wow.
That would be one way.
Thank you.
Also, paying attention to your feet can help if, like me, you're a little shy or nervous sometimes about going there with the magic, sort of the being grounded, but also, just feeling it in your feet. So it could be bare feet outside, could be noticing the toes, each toe in your shoes. Again, you're in the middle of that work meeting and you're wishing for a little playful joy, but paying attention to your feet because they're underappreciated. And
beautiful. And so simple.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is there anything that you want to leave our listeners with? Anything you want to say about, you know, I don't know, fairies, walking, hugging trees?
Just thank you. Thank you for listening. It's nice to spend time with you. And maybe we'll get to do that again soon, somehow, some way.
Would love to. So if people want to follow you or get in touch with you, and I called you multidimensional in one of the promotions, your multidimensional services, how would they do that?
Innerchildoutside.com is my website. And there's an email address there. It's my name. It's kirstenbowl@protonmail.com. And I'd love to hear from you and find a way to play.
Beautiful. So innerchildoutside.com. First of all, amazing name.
Thank you.
It makes me want to get outside.
Great.
And be with my inner child, or it's just great, great, great play on words. So everybody, thank you for listening today. You know, take a moment to get in the flow, wiggle your toes, or watch some fish mother each other. I love that. And let us know if you like this episode. Please give us a review, give us some stars on Apple Podcasts so other folks can find us. And we look forward to seeing you and hearing from you next time. Peace, everybody.